It is 10 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, November 16, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to look into the latest efforts on the war on terror. And we're going to take a stand with the free world and remind everybody that there is God, and it's not us. And we will win this. We will overcome it. Now, let's start. Let's start thinking together. How can we overcome this latest challenge? You know, everybody is open mind today. Everybody actually sharing. And everybody is reaching out. So this is a great position to flourish. It's a good position. Sometimes the only challenges bring us together, but everyone has to take a role. And today we have a position where the president of the USA is taking a role, and the Russian are taking a role, and the French that are wounded are really, really active into this war. And Jordan and, you know, the Sunnis and the Shiite, they fight forever. But the question is, what is the right way to settle the score? And I was, asking myself, how are we going to approach it? And many times I go on automatic because being an Israeli, going through many wars and, you know, going into America into, you know, and you're learning to be empowered by the great nation, you get a very comfortable position that you can overcome everything. But I remind you all, we need to be focused. We need to be really attacking it. And to the detail, we're going to break it down like a formula. We're not going to be, hot-headed. We're not going to feel wounded if we want to win. We have a rule of thumb. We cannot be emotional in this race, right? And the president's position was really good today. And I hope we can listen to what he had to say today in the G20 summit, because it will illustrate you that you can take a lead, you can put yourself in a position, but you don't have to put always your people on the ground. There are people that have, you know, skin in the game, as the French, and they are pulling out. So you cannot all jump into. It's a motion. We need to take turns. America took turns, 10 years Iraq wasn't a funny joke, and everybody that say why there are no boots on the ground from the American side, how much you want this country to sacrifice for you all? There are European countries in the midst. Let them fight. Let them start running. Let's start with the first segment.
On the subject of the Palestinians, here's Alex in North London. Alex, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. I'm calling from North London. I've been listening to you for 3 months now.
Okay.
Never had the chance to listen to speak to you.
Okay.
But I was just calling on. I was listening to you a couple of nights ago, and you were talking to these people, and they were saying that Israel, the Jews, did not have the right to gain Israel from the Palestinians. And I was just saying, throughout history, the Jews have been persecuted, obviously, from the Holocaust, and we were granted Israel as a result of this. And I feel that...
granted by whom?
We were granted from Britain and other countries, granted us that.
But what right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
Well, it's due because we lost 6 million people.
No. I'm not arguing about that. I'm going to come on to that. But what right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
We had the right because we lost 6 million people and we did not have a home.
Well, yeah, I'm going to ask you for a third time. What right did Britain have to grant you somebody else's country?
Well, they didn't. Well, they were giving us the right because they basically gave us, because of the the...
But they gave you somebody else's country. That's the point I'm making, Alex. Can you deal with it?
Yeah, but the Jews have had to... have also had to...
Okay, let's... we are back. It's Orlin Benny-Davis. That was a sample of what propaganda sounds like. You take a really weak, color, which is emotional, and you start beating on him with false accusation. What's the right of the Brits or the English to give Israel, Palestine they call it then, to Israel? Now, for everybody who knows, there was never a Palestine state. Palestine is the name of the territory that was named by the Roman. And if the Brits were occupying that territory, that segment, it was because they were anointed this by amendment, UN amendment, to give them, to facilitate. They actually, the one that facilitated the Jewish state, they didn't have the role of giving. They just were doing what the world decided to do. Now, why they gave the world, it wasn't because of Holocaust. God, no. It's because the biblical connection to the land. The Jewish people came back to the land. So I'm telling you guys, when you listen to news or you listen to anything, please use history and fact and actual read, Google, do something right. Don't go with propaganda. And the same to everybody who wants to hate somebody. The same one, and I'm talking about the Palestinian that got so much in stake. Because they have such a lousy leaders, they lost all their bets. Yesterday I talked to the massive negotiator, and they were so left-wing, they were willing to give them everything. But they didn't believe in their being, because they never existed. You know, you are a dancer. When you're a dancer, you know you're a dancer. So you dance. Sometimes you do well, sometimes not, but you are a dancer. When you're trying to claim a land that wasn't yours ever, never been ever yours, and you're trying to take it away from a biblical ancestors, you know, tracing or trashing all the temple residue, and then building a mosque on top of saying, oh, it's mine, for 1,000 years. Yes, of course, it's been 1,000 years ago when you did that. Your ancestor, or whoever was it, because it wasn't Palestinian even then. And then you're coming and you're claiming that you were first. Well, we were first. I remember Mr. Hoffner, the ambassador to the USA from Switzerland, who used to be also the ambassador in Tel Aviv. He used to say something very interesting as a historian. He says, as in history, you can go as back as you want if you want to have it right. So we can all be right if we go back in history. So now let's roll back. The Palestinians are right or wrong. I don't know. I don't. Well, I know that they're not right. There was never a country like, theirs. But I'm saying that now that the world is conceding, even Israel conceding, they need to settle down their argument and don't use terror as a threat to Israel. Because Israelis really, really don't bite on that. Because they become stronger. They've been tired, sick and tired of this management of terror constantly. And now that we look at the world and we see, oh, massive attack. You get 120 people killed in one night, just in the name of whatever darkness you live in, and you want the world settled? You can't. So the French did right. They were bombing the heck out of the city today that holds so much reservoir of oil. They did well. They attack whoever hurt them bad. Now, Israel, if they get attacked, hold yours, you guys, you have to be proportional. What is proportional when you are little? What is proportional? Everything hurts. everything hurts. Now, if you think about the brave men and women that lived in the Holy Land, and they are all, they are Arab, the Israeli, the, you know, Arab Israeli, Christian Israeli, Jewish Israeli, anybody who lives there, they have the guts of brave lionheart. Why? Because they wake up the next day and they go to work. They get up and they send the kids to school. They believe in their tomorrow. When France has been through 3 days of mourning, of a devastation, because it hurts. You know why it hurts, you know, when you attack France so much? Because it's a city of love, of romance, of everything beautiful in the world. And you put your filthy hands on it and you mark it with your... You put something bad in it and nobody wants you to leave anymore. So what are you going to do? You're going to run into your hole and, you know, they'll catch you eventually, whoever you are. Now it's time. Now the world is reunited. They're reuniting up because there is no place in the world that anybody could go and run without somebody picking on them. You see, because if you're a bad guy, you're traced because you do bad things. Bad things follow you. If you think God doesn't have a play in this, trust me, He will show it. Everything that you do bad to the people, you know, in the world, this is His creation. If you think that you're messing with mankind, you're messing with God Almighty when you touch His children. You think He will stay and won't help us? He will help us, and we'll catch everybody around the globe. Then you threaten Washington, D.C.? You Washington, D.C., you're threatening? Do you want to mess with American? You know, you saw what happened to Iraq. It's nothing. I would suggest you buckle up and you go away. You just, guys, you made your last. Paris is your last shining in your terror days. It's over because everybody is around. And you know what? Your brothers and sisters, the Muslims, they are with us too. They want us to catch you. They're praying. Please catch them because they are ruining our life. We're praying for a better life. We're moving. They're working hard. They're working, everybody. And you guys are deciding to destroy everything because you like cows. God Almighty, we need to pray together for this, but we will overcome it. That's something for sure. Let's get some music and we'll be after that. Right, we are back. I'm sorry I interrupted this beautiful music, but we need to get going. We have so much to talk about. All right, let's listen to what President of the USA had to say in the G20, and I'll tell you after what I think, you know, of his position, because I do believe he has the right one. All right, let's go.
ISIL is the face of evil. Our goal, as I've said many times, is to degrade and ultimately destroy this barbaric terrorist organization. As I outlined this fall at the United Nations, we have a comprehensive strategy using all elements of our power: military, intelligence, economic, development, and the strength of our communities. We have always understood that this would be a long-term campaign. There will be setbacks and there will be successes. The terrible events in Paris were obviously a terrible and sickening setback. Even as we grieve with our French friends, however, we can't lose sight that there has been progress being made. On the military front, our coalition is intensifying our airstrikes, more than 8,000 to date. We're taking out ISIL leaders, commanders, their killers. We've seen that when we have an effective partner on the ground, ISIL can and is pushed back. So local forces in Iraq, backed by coalition air power, recently liberated Sinjar. Iraqi forces are fighting to take back Ramadi. In Syria, ISIL's been pushed back from much of the border region with Turkey. We've stepped up our support of opposition forces who are working to cut off supply lines to ISIL's strongholds in around Raqqa. So in short, both in Iraq and Syria, ISIL controls less territory than it did before. I made the point to my fellow leaders that if we want this progress to be sustained, more nations need to step up with the resources that this fight demands. Of course, the attacks in Paris remind us that it will not be enough to defeat ISIL in Syria and Iraq alone. Here in Antalya, our nation's therefore committed to strengthening border controls, sharing more information, and stepping up our efforts to prevent the flow of foreign fighters in and out of Syria and Iraq. As the United States just showed in Libya, ISIL leaders will have no safe haven anywhere, and will continue to stand with leaders in Muslim communities, including faith leaders, who are the best voices to discredit ISIL's warped ideology. On the humanitarian front, our nations agreed that we have to do even more, individually and collectively, to address the agony of the Syrian people. The United States is already the largest donor of humanitarian aid to the Syrian people, some $4.5 billion in aid so far. As winter approaches, we're donating additional supplies, including clothing and generators, through the United Nations. But the UN appeal for Syria still has less than half the funds needed. Today, I'm again calling on more nations to contribute the resources that this crisis demands. In terms of refugees, it's clear that countries like Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan, which are already bearing an extraordinary burden, cannot be expected to do so alone. At the same time, all of our countries have to ensure our security. And as President, my first priority is the safety of the American people. And that's why, even as we accept more refugees, including Syrians, we do so only after subjecting them to rigorous screening and security checks. We also have to remember that many of these refugees are the victims of terrorism themselves. That's what they're fleeing. Slamming the door in their faces would be a betrayal of our values. Our nations can welcome refugees who are desperately seeking safety and ensure our own security. We can and must do both. Finally, we've begun to see some modest progress on the diplomatic front, which is critical because a political solution is the only way to end the war in Syria and unite the Syrian people and the world against ISIL. The Vienna talks mark the first time that all the key countries have come together, as a result, I would add, of American leadership, and reached a common understanding. With this weekend's talks, there's a path forward. Negotiations between the Syrian opposition and the Syrian regime under the auspices of the United Nations, a transition toward a more inclusive representative government, a new constitution followed by free elections, and alongside this political process, a ceasefire in the civil war, even as we continue to fight against ISIL. These are obviously ambitious goals. Hopes for diplomacy in Syria have been dashed before. There are any number of ways that this latest diplomatic push could falter. And there are still disagreements between the parties, including, most critically, over the fate of Bashar Assad, who we do not believe has a role in Syria's future because of his brutal rule. His war against the Syrian people is the primary root cause of this crisis. What is different this time, and what gives us some degree of hope, is that, as I said, for the first time, all the major countries on all sides of the Syrian conflict agree on a process that is needed to end this war. And so while we are very clear-eyed about the very, very difficult road still ahead, the United States, in partnership with our coalition, is going to remain relentless on all fronts, military, humanitarian, and diplomatic. We have the right strategy, and we're going to see it through. So with that, I'm going to take some questions, and I will begin with Jerome Cartelia of AFP.
All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. It's Monday, and on Monday we actually try to focus on USA more and news, and the president position today that they are going to intensify it. Now, to be intense in the fight, it doesn't mean that they're going to bomb more or anything, because if France already is taking the active role of bombing, and they did it in Raqqa today, they might consider something else. Now, let's talk. It was mentioning the refugees. We have a refugee situation that is getting out of control. But nobody ever thought to create, a safe zone for them in the border of Syria. Just push them back, and get some refugees camp over there. There is no reason for them to travel over if United Nations rules that it was implicated that it is going to have a role. Because the UN was absent in this fight, and I told you that for a long time. I don't know what they're doing, but if the chairman is visiting Israel while he needs to visit Syria, yeah, he needs to go to the zone where it's important. Don't try to force your hand in a place where the Palestinian is acting up. 20 years of negotiation, and they always say no, and they don't agree that there is a Jewish state. So, you cannot force a hand on somebody who doesn't agree that to let you leave. And all the reasoning of that they can give in the world, it won't matter to one thing. There is a God of Israel, and, we want to honor him here, and this is the state that was made. That's his plan. What can we do? We're Jewish. What do you want us to do? This is the way it's going to be from now on. We are here. Now, you guys get a grip with it and move on. Now, you want your share, whatever. But now think about the refugees. They're running out of the zone, dead zone, because they're killing each other, of course. Of course, they're killing each other. Why to stay in peace? They need to have stuff instead of working out. They have so many good people in their midst that I cannot generalize. I'm serious. I cannot. It's some of them, the bad ones, are really ruining for all of them. And the important thing is to start squeezing, and they need to squeeze it from within them. I must give it to everybody else that didn't mention the Arab community. Nobody mentioned it. Jordan is playing. Well, Jordan is trying to safeguard their kingdom. It's not because they love so much people, or they'll go out. They know that they are under threat, and they'll come after them. So they're attacking, or they attack. But now, everywhere, there is an Arab population, which they are embracing the bad guys too, and the good guys. They're good guys. They're good guys there. So we need to have the forces of flight, of leaving, because the difference is they want to die. We need to give some light in those places, and the Arab community needs to enlighten them. Nothing we can do about it. It's their household. Okay, think about it. People are killing themselves in the name of God, okay? They think they sacrifice their life that God gave them, which is precious, is in the name of God. That's who trained them, who teach them. Now, let's go back to those schools and start listening. You guys go to the mosque and listen. This is your job. We cannot do that. And you know what? The world needs to start squeezing on this Arab population to start giving, giving some light to those lost souls to help them, safeguard them. and bring them to the right track. I'm trying to think about everything because they need to oust them. If you have a bad one, it's like in every community, you put them out. Okay, like the father gave up his son that he was a murderer. You must. This is law and order. Forget, you know, religion. Religion is only a label that is comfortable for them to take. But the truth of the matter is that it's a gang of a very bad criminal that riots through the world and wants to destroy it, to take over. Now, believe you guys in the secular world always tell me, you know, stop, don't bring religious to the problem. I want you guys to stop bringing religion to the same problem. There is no problem of religion because no religion or nobody, no real religion in the name of God will kill. Many Muslims will tell you that. It's Jewish, of course, sacrifice life, sanctified it so much that every life can change the world. And a Christian, obviously, they do believe in the Bible in the same credo. So now we have to think about law and order. There are a bunch of them, and the Muslim, as our brothers to our humanity, needs to join forces with us to get them out and fix the world. It's really comfortable to say, oh, we're not taking part of it. And why? Because they're Muslim and they're Muslim. Oh, they're brothers. No, they're not. They're criminals and you are not criminals. So if you want to be in their gang, well, why don't you start squeezing them too? So they'll be very uncomfortable having so many criminals in their family. Maybe they start working within. You know, you guys have to look and turn the prism of reality again and again until you find the right focus to win it, because we're going to win it. Now, I would say law and order. Anytime that anybody, and you know what, anybody who stop obeying the rules of order is going to create chaos. I remember in America, it's really, really sweet, because in America, when you park the car in the parking lot, a big, big, huge, you know, in the world of Americans, they don't realize how big the world is. But you park it in the parking lot of the supermarket, and you actually didn't regard, you know, your parking, really, and you crisscross between two. They'll come to you and say, hey, you're parking in two spots. Hey, keep the order. Not because they are annoying, you know, and they don't have nothing to do. It's because you're breaking the rules and the other one will break the rules. And soon enough, America will be all in chaos. That's how it is. When somebody breaks the rules and you let it be. And the Muslim community, we're calling because they are calling it in the name of their gods, right? They need to obey the same thing, rule and order. Forget that and stop talking. Don't mention God. Don't use God as your excuse. I don't care. You know, if your God is good, I love him. You know, I love God because he's good. He's all my God too, right? But if it's not, it's rules of engagement. That's the way we're going to take it. Rules of engagement, law and order. I don't care who you are. That's how the world civilization can be united in one. One credo of light, life, keeping orders and growth. You want to come and destroy something? You'll find the world everywhere, brother and sister of every world, every segment of the universe will come against you. That's all. And that's how we're going to keep it going. And I'm really sick and tired of saying that you're Muslim, you have to defend them. No, we don't attack you. You be with us. The rest will be isolated. All right? Let's get some more music and we'll be after that.
Hey, Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me?
All right, and that was Adele with Hello. It's a beautiful song. I heard that it's much success. Nobody predicted it. Well, right. She's a success. She's a star, and she's doing it again and again. Now, let's think. When they're applying to all this terrorism, they have a lot of plots of land. And I heard that the president and other people saying that they are pushing them back. Okay, push them farther, because we need some space to put the refugee in and to open some UN camps, all right? We need to start getting supplies for them. Now, the resources, the oil resources that they have, that they bomb in Raqqa, we need to make sure. I heard that they bomb like 100 of them, but there are tons of more. And, no, you know, they cannot sell it. And we know that there are people who buy that oil. And if you think that you can buy oil from them, supply them with money and not be a part of their, you know, our attacks, you cannot be protected. Because if you join forces with them, you join forces. If you buy for them, you are accessory. Now, let's talk about communication. So the oil and stuff, they need to make sure that they don't have much to sell, so they start running out of fuel. Communication, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. I heard that this is the massive way of communicating with the world. Guys, on Facebook and Twitter, if you think that you are allowing that to exist, it makes you guys accessory. It doesn't matter in the rules of God, you know, Almighty, when actual things is important. Everything that you do, every action is important. You guys are doing something that you'll get to pay for it in some kind of, I don't know, I don't know if the world starts having some fine or some limiting acts. I don't know what the world can do, but they need to enforce some international rules of engagement on the internet. And the fact that Google or Facebook or Twitter are allowed to have hate stuff on the pages, or guys with a gun or a rifle, It's not something that we can tolerate for a long time. You guys need to start applying. If people are putting it, first of all, the one who see them need to alert you, and the second one, you have to remove it. There is no why it's violence. You're promoting violence. If you use promotion of violence, we'll have a case against your side, okay? So communication. We need to block all their communication, telephones, satellites. I don't know what you guys are doing, but you, intelligentsia, have a way of doing something. Of course, you're doing it all, but that's still kicking, all right? So we are going to be obnoxious until we get it right. Then movement. You know, make it uncomfortable for them to move. It means that... you know, the Israeli are saying profiling. You cannot profile. I don't care. Do your job. Profile them. Profile everybody. Just make sure that their movement and any vehicles that they have get bombed. Everything. You just don't let them move. Just start squishing them, the land, resources, communication, movement, and supply. Now, where they got all the supplies? People, they're selling them stuff. Oh, you'll have a bunch of underground community that collaborate with them. So crack on them. What can you do? You know what? I'm not sure that I'm doing that. I'm just saying, supply. Cut the supply off of anything. And you can trace it by the money. Follow the money. It's the rule of engagement. From the old age, you follow the money. You knock down their ability to produce new one. And you cramp them in the movement. Limitate their supply. They'll start to be dismantled. And make some of your community member a part of your team. For some reason, people think, oh, they'll cover. No, they cannot cover for them because we'll find them too. Or you'll find it faster. Anyway, you need to have people, armed forces too, that belong, to be a part of it. People will say, it's probably insane. They need to take responsibility. We cannot give them a free pass of all the hard work we have to do where their brother and sister are happy. It's like having a machine and a crazy one running around. And they say, oh, it's your fault. No, it's your family. They start taking responsibility. All right? So this is it as far as I'm going with this subject today because we ran all our 45 minutes already into this. Even though that, you know, we mentioned the Palestinian issue because they're trying to use terror too. And if there is a link between them, the Sweden Minister of Foreign Affairs actually blurted that out, that Palestinian and Daesh, you know, are the same or whatever. It makes me think that or the Swedish girl didn't know what she's talking about, or it's real, which is scary. Let's try to speculate on that one, all right? Let's get some music, and we'll be back after that. I'm sorry if it starts late a little, but that's what it is. All right, we are back. It's the Impossible Truth with Orla Betty Davis, and it's Monday, and we have something amazing to let you hear. And I was wondering, you know, but it made me smile, so I want to share it with you. Let's listen to it.
إن شعوب منطقتنا الواقعة تحت زلزال وحشية داعش في أكثر من بلد عربي وإسلامي ومنها لبنان الذي عانى قبل أيام ما عانى هم الأكثر إدراكا وإحساسا بالمصاب الأليم الذي أصاب الشعب الفرنسي في الليلة الماضية إننا نعبر عن مواساتنا وتضامننا الإنساني والعاطفي والأخلاقي مع كل هؤلاء الأبرياء.
All right, guys. That was Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, who spoke against the attack in Paris. You know, there is a God after all. If we start having, you know, some people starting seeing the light and coming to the right, I don't know, but it's really amazing that they criticize. Usually the shaking in the back, because in the Palestinian territory, by the way, there was some festivity going on. Okay, don't think that they feel for you guys, that you just, you know, boycotted products, or you stand with them, you make it. No, they dance when people kill, and it's so sad. It's so sad to see that, because you guys deserve your friendship, because you were friends for long, right? But it's hard when we have people are partying when somebody gets killed. Now, to think about Hezbollah, I think that they just want to designate the fact that they don't want the forces to come to Lebanon. That's all. Because Syria, remember, was, you know, taking took over Lebanon for many years. And under President Bush and the forceful, convinced way of Condoleezza Rice, that Syria left Lebanon. That was a very amazing thing that George Bush, President George Bush did. Nobody think about it. But the idea was that if Hezbollah is trying to align itself with the West, it means, please guys, don't come here. We don't belong there. So they become a part of the parliament. Maybe they start, you know, they got old, I guess. That fight is nonsense. Fighting in the name of darkness is nonsense. So that's where they are in Lebanon. And I never heard anything from the Prime Minister of Lebanon, so I don't know what's the position on that one. Interesting. In all this myth, we found that many Arab countries are silent. Now think about Algeria. Algeria is probably, more friendly toward the West, but some of the radical Islamists came from there too, and because maybe it's a free country, so they come in and out. It's free for them to. I don't know. It's a tact that we need to discover, because right now all bets are up, and we can understand why the Western forces want to have alliances all over. Let's roll it. Now, give Israel a part of it, because we are part of it. The intelligentsia is, definitely our forte. We can communicate, understand, and dismantle many of stuff that are on the net or around that. It's not that we are not busy. It's because we just want to be helpful. We are with you guys. We are together on this. This is the world, and this is the border for, you know, of Israel, Syria. Now let's think about that. Now we get the attack of, I wanted to stop talking about it, but I guess that it's over already, the hour, and it might as well finish with that. But let's think about it again. If you have the United Nations supposed to have, as Secretary John Kerry said, a free election in Syria, so they start establishing a new regime or a new vote or whatever, it means that the United Nations is placed into position. I don't know why NATO is not a part of it to enforce, because the United Nations does not have military, all right? So you put the UN in for election, use it for refugees, makes it all one, create some, you know, a circle of safety zone, and then enlarge it, make it bigger as much as the refugee comes and as much as you push, and start pushing, because that land, it doesn't belong to anybody. You know, those bandits are running crazy, they didn't belong there. So we have the way, if we have the will. We just need to be completely, completely clear about the goal. Freedom for mankind from all the oppression of the darkness. It doesn't matter what you know believe in, as long as you let other people leave. That's the rule of engagement for everybody. All right, and let's start working. This world, this planet needs some work, some cleanup to do. Why we leave everything to the next generation to solve? Let's see what we have here as far as music. You know what? Let me bless you, okay? Before we salute, because it's almost over, I want to pray with you and I want to bless you. I know that we have a lot of praying to do together, but I want to ensure you that my heart is going out all for everybody around, and I send all my love and prayer to God Almighty that you guys will be safe, that you go well in your places and you do well in your job. Get creative. Whoever is in the free world that is capable, as free and as fit, just go give you 100%. Do what's best today. Make it wonderful. Make your life worthy of the life you know you have. Just don't kick some whatever, as they say, so you can feel the world, and you're helping. By doing so, you're helping those to fight on the other end. All right? So I'm saluting you now, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. All right? God bless you all. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.